thee, Lord, for gathering the saints on this holiday weekend, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have a message for us today. And Lord, we open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for every person that's gathered, for every person that will be listening online. God, we thank you that your presence surrounds them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, warm greetings this morning from Apostle Leonard and I. And we are so glad you're here. And did you know tomorrow is Pastor Leonard's birthday? We thank God, praise God, he's still going strong. He loves God, he loves God's people, and he still loves to work. Yes, yes, we appreciate Apostle Leonard. And so happy birthday tomorrow. We're not going to tell how old he is. If he wants to share that with you later, he can. He's not as old as he acts, okay? So as I said, we're going to talk about Pentecost Sunday today, because actually the Hebrew festival begins Thursday at sundown on May 28th, and it goes to the evening of May 30th. And its origin is from the book of Deuteronomy 16, 9 through 11. And if you'd like to read that later, you can. But it was the conclusion of counting 7 weeks for the festival of the Hebrew Shavuot. And it's the spring harvest. And it was the ending of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. And so this is a time that represented harvest to the Jewish people, but it was also the time that the Torah was given at Mount Sinai. And so we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Jewish people celebrated the Torah and the giving of God's word. And so we see it's a time that the two covenants of God come together. The old covenant and the new covenant come together and complete what God had originally planned for his people. And so in there's lots of scriptures, but the interesting thing is that as we've come through Passover, catch this, as we've come through Passover, Passover was a time of unleavened bread. But when they got to the festival of the festival of Shavuot, they had leavened bread. And so the leaven was added back into the bread. And scholars say this was because God was reminding people that we have to be aware and beware of the leaven. Do you remember Jesus in the book of Luke? He had gathered the people together, and he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the hypocrites, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops." Jesus was reminding how a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. And so as the Torah was released on Mount Sinai, this was a time of celebration for the Hebrew people. And they would do a wave offering with these loaf breads unto the Lord. And the leaven was put back in. And God was releasing the bread of his word. But he was also making us aware that we must be careful of the leaven that can get into our lives and actually ruin us. We want the word to get into our lives and to expand and grow, not the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which today would be the doctrine of the media. We don't want that to get into our hearts and our minds and begin to grow. Amen? Amen. And as I was reading this in Luke, I thought it was interesting that Jesus said, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. And what has been spoken in secret is going to be declared on the housetops. And so this is a good time, a good season, church, for us to stand on this, because we want the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the heart of God, to be released to everyone. And all of the doctrinal error and all of the media, the negativity, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God, that your spirit overrules that in this season. You see, the Torah came and gave the law. Hallelujah. The word of God. And so God's word prevails. God's word is eternal. And when we stand upon God's word, we know that it's going to come to pass, because God promised it. Another thought before we get into our outline is that the giving of the Torah and the giving of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the power of God, was very much the same. Do you remember the children of Israel were at the bottom of the mountain and they were horrified, terrified of what they saw and what they heard as God came down upon that mountain? Okay? And so in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, there was also this wind that came and this sound that came. You see, there's a sound that's attached to Pentecost. And this is a year of the blowing of the Lord across the world, because God's breath is breathing once again across the world. And he is releasing a fresh fire. He is releasing a fresh anointing. You see, the children of it, yes, let's give the Lord a praise for that. The children of Israel needed the word of God to go into their next season, right? And so God released his presence, released that word to them. As we enter into this era, this is a time of releasing and establishing the kingdom of God. Bishop Hammond calls it the third church reformation. Other prophets call it the great awakening. Other prophets call it the establishing and coming of the demonstration and the manifestation of the kingdom of God. And so we need a fresh pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We need to be ignited and strengthened to be able to go on in this season. And you see, this is what God is doing. We had a literal Passover. And Prophet Chuck Pierce had said last September, catch that, last September, Prophet Chuck Pierce prophesied that a plague would come over the world and that we would have a literal Passover season, that a plague would pass over us at that time. Thank you, Jesus. And then he said within 3 months it would lift off the face of the earth. And so we're believing that it is lifting, it is going in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Thank you, Lord. The scripture says, believe the prophets and you will prosper. Come on. So we're going to stand in agreement that this plague is lifting and the reports that we're hearing will not come to pass. Because we're going to stand in agreement with what God has said. Amen. And so God is releasing a fresh anointing. And as I was looking at Exodus 20, it talks about the thunderings of the voice of God. When he gave the Torah, when he gave the Ten Commandments, there was a thundering. And in the Hebrew, that actually also means voices. And as you read through the old commentaries and theologians, they believe that when God released the Ten Commandments, it was in more than one language. And you could hear the voice of the languages that it was being released in as God's voice was pouring out His law, His word for His people. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the scripture says they spoke in many tongues, but everyone that was there understood what they were saying. Hallelujah. There were 120 gathered in the upper room when the Spirit of God hit that place. Hallelujah. And I believe as we have been gathering in with the Lord and gathering in prayer during this transition time, I'm believing for a shift to begin to happen on Thursday at sundown. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God goes according to His calendar, right? And so it goes through sundown on Saturday, May 30th, is the time of the Pentecost and the Shavuot festival. So it's a fresh, new Pentecost that is being poured out. And it will activate us for this specific time period that the church is in. Tell your neighbor the church is the key. The scripture says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now have you sensed the gates of hell pushing in? Come on, Satan is pushing in on us individually and he's pushing in on the church. And I believe this is part of why they've restricted the churches from meeting. You know, it's like everybody else can meet, but the churches aren't essential. But the churches are essential. And don't treat Christians like we don't have enough common sense to follow some guidelines and do what is safe to keep us safe. You know, don't question our intelligence. We have the wisdom of God. Amen. We are essential. We are essential. And so this is all a part of why I believe Satan does that Antichrist spirit is rising up and it is showing itself in so many ways in our culture. But you know what? God said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. And I believe that on this Pentecost season, the pouring out of His Spirit is going to release a prevailing anointing upon the church that we will have a supernatural strength and wisdom and be able to stand against every fiery dart of the enemy and everything the Antichrist is throwing at us at this time. It's not time for the Antichrist to take his seat. God has other plans. And so he is not going to rise up, the son of perdition, and take his seat at this time because God is releasing a prevailing anointing because there is a harvest. This is harvest time. Shavuot was harvest time. They brought in the harvest. They brought in the grains. They brought in the wave offerings to the Lord. And it is time. It is time for the harvest, for a breaking loose of those that are lost and those that are dying. Their souls are dying. And God wants to see them come into the kingdom. And He's going to use the church. I believe the church is getting back her voice. Do you notice the church is standing up? You know, the Baptist preacher said, I'll close my church when they sell popsicles in hell. And they put a
ice skating rink in the lake of fire. He said, I am not closing my church. Hallelujah. Because we continue to reach out, to preach the gospel, to reach people. And yes, we can do that in many ways. But you know, the word says, when we're gathered together, we are a bunch of lively stones. And we prepare a spiritual habitation for the presence of God to dwell in. And when God is in our presence, things begin to shift. Things begin to change. Our hearts change. Our situations change. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's Pentecost time. And I'm Pentecost from way back. Hallelujah. In Matthew 3:11, let's read it together. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire means to purify, to cleanse, to burn out the sin, the dross that's within us. Jesus released the Holy Spirit when he went to heaven. He said, I'll send a comforter and he will come. And our comforter comes and comforts us in the hardest times of our life. The Holy Spirit is always with us. And along with that, he gives us a burning desire to do what's right. You see, people couldn't live by the law. They couldn't do it in their own strength. So when God sent the Holy Spirit enables us and gives us the ability to do what God is asking us to do. Because it is the power that is working within us. The Spirit of God came upon them. Let's read the story in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit was poured out on the same day that the law was given in the Old Testament many years ago. And that's why this is such a significant holiday. That's why we praise God and thank God for the pouring out of his Holy Spirit. Because when he poured out the Spirit, it was the birthing forth of the church. It was, read the book of Acts. I believe God wants the church to be like the book of Acts. You know that the kingdom of God is among us. And so as God released his Spirit, God is releasing his Spirit once again in a fresh way. Power to actually give birth to new times in the earth. I was listening to Tim Sheets teach on his Mother's Day message. And he was sharing about all the moms that were at up in the upper room with 120, the mothers of the disciples were there praying and interceding because women know how to birth. Hallelujah. They know how to bring forth. Whether you've had it, never had a baby or not, there's just something in a woman that knows how to do that, how to push, push, push. And women will keep pushing until they see God's hand move. They don't give up too easily. Is that right? That's right. Hallelujah. So power to be a part of bringing this new movement into the earth realm. We've been praying for years that the kingdom of God would come, that manifestations would be in our midst. And they have been, but never to the measure that we knew God intended for them to be, because Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. So this is a time of God is pouring out His Spirit for the greater works. And so everyone's going to be used for that. Yes, God's using everyone for a greater work, greater exploitations, greater demonstration of the kingdom of God. God wants to manifest Himself in the earth. Hallelujah. And you know, I was thinking about it. We have been preaching the kingdom of God since we founded our church. I've looked back at years of messages, and the theme has always been God's kingdom coming to earth. Hallelujah. God is about to release an anointing church. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And we want to position ourselves for it. You know, as Prophet Chuck talked about the Passover and the pouring out of a fresh anointing and the birthing forth of the kingdom of God, I thought, you know, when he prophesied that back in September, we didn't know what he was talking about, right? Because, you know, you hear prophets, major prophets that God has called, not only to the church, but he's a prophet to the world, because he prophesies into world events and God shows him things that are coming. And so it's like you really don't know what to do with that. But I thought about this week as I was in meditation. You know, the prophet Joel, in the book of Acts, Luke said, this is that was prophesied. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, it was a this is that time. And when we got into that Passover season, when we started to hear about this coronavirus in China back in January, we realized that we were coming into a this is that moment concerning that prophecy. And we are in a this is that moment for the pouring out of God's Spirit. And as I was asking God, it's God, what is our part? What are we supposed to do? And the Lord just said, position yourself before me. Get your heart in alignment with me and what I want to do in your life and what I want to do in the earth. He said, Janet, you don't have to do anything special. Nothing has to be special. The people just need to get before me, to pray before me, to cry out to me, to stand in a place of repentance for our nation and for the body of Christ, for how we have strayed away from our first love. And get back to the heart of worship, worshiping God and desiring Him above everything else. Getting away from thinking that we have to have this and we have to have that. No, we just need Jesus. When we come together, we need the presence of God. He said, you don't have to do anything special, because I am pouring out my Spirit and I am releasing it. You see, we won't be together until Sunday. But that doesn't stop God moving and pouring out His Spirit upon each one of us, upon each household of faith, upon every person that is a member of the body of Christ. God is going to do it. Tell your neighbor, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. God is releasing that prevailing anointing for us. We're actually being anointed to change the course of history. We are. Amen. Maureen's excited about it. She's like, I'll take that anointing. Hallelujah. God has anointed us. With a boldness. You know, we've been talking about the boldness. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Confidence is connected to our words. I did a whole series of teaching, but God is anointing us with boldness. Hallelujah. I want to get down to before I go into Peter and John's story in Acts 3 and 4, I do want to share this. That when the law was given and Moses came down from the mountain and the people had turned away from God and they were worshiping the golden calf. Do you remember that? The scripture says 3,000 people died that day. Yeah, God took out 3,000 people. But when the Holy Spirit was poured out and Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 souls were saved. You see, this is a time of harvest. And once again, we will see people's hearts turn to the Lord. But it's not going to be in the big evangelistic tent meetings that we used to have and all of that. It is going to be each one of the saints reaching people with the good news of the gospel. It's going to be you sharing the good news of the gospel. It's going to be you praying for people wherever you're at, wherever God sets you up to meet somebody. We've got to be ready to share the good news. But I wanted to share that point before we go on into lots of things here. The miracle of the lame man. And I'm just going to go through this story quickly. But in Acts 3, 6 through 10, is when Peter and John came to the lame man. This man was lame from birth, the scripture says, which tells me the guy had never walked. And so he was at a point in his life, I think he was 40 years old. They were carrying him to the gate beautiful. And he would lay at the gate and he would beg for food. And you know, I thought about that. Someone like Pastor Leonard, he probably would have made sure he had a hot meal every day, you know, because he loves to feed people. He would have noticed that. I'm sure there were people that noticed him and made sure that that man was taken care of. But Peter, when he got to him, you know, that beggar looked at him and he was wanting some silver, some gold. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. So all of these people saw him. The scripture says there was about 5,000 men, which means there were also women and children amongst that that had witnessed this event. Now think about that. This guy had been lame from birth. He came out of his mother's womb lame. He had never walked. But because Peter and John, in the name of Jesus, released God's power into that man. He jumped up, went walking and leaping. Well, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, they were really upset about this. And they were trying to figure out a plan to trap these guys because they were suddenly very popular with the people. And so, first of all, you know, they decided that they would just arrest them for the night. And so they arrested them and they held them overnight in prison while they were trying to figure out what they were going to do with these guys, because they knew they were disciples of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it's interesting because when they talked about Peter and John, they talked about them as they knew that they were Jesus' disciples because they were unlearned, basically, and unprofessional people. Well, the church was praying, hallelujah. And, you know, they couldn't hold them. But they decided to threaten them. So the next day they told them, you cannot preach in the name of Jesus any longer. And they wisely answered. I mean, they were amazed at the wisdom in these men, because they knew they were not professionals. They knew they were unlearned. You know, Jesus took disciples from the group of people that the rest of the rabbis just pushed to the side and didn't want anything to do with because their IQ probably wasn't high enough. Doesn't matter how smart you are when it comes to Jesus, because he can supernaturally give you the wisdom that you need, the answer that you need, that makes you look really good. Right. Hallelujah. Well, Peter and John, they knew everything they were doing was because of the power of God. They didn't have it in themselves. And that is the best place to be, church. When we think we're all that, when we think we have all the answers, when we think we're absolutely right, we had better get with God. Hallelujah. We're going to go off that subject just and keep going here. But they threatened them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And they told them, you know, you be the judge of whether or not you think we should speak for God or speak for you. You decide. But they never said they weren't not going to do it, but they did put them in a place where you're looking really stupid right now because you haven't healed one person. You don't even take care of the people. You don't even have any compassion on the people. And God moves and heals this man, and you're mad about a man that's walking after 40 years of being lame. Wow. So anyway, we're picking it back up in Acts 4, 29, 30 to wrap up this message. And the scripture says, now, Lord, look on their threats. You see, they're praying for these people that have persecuted them. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then the scripture says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spake the word of God boldly. This word boldly is the same word that we have studied in the Greek that is used for confidence. It's all outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, publicity by implication, assurance. And so they were released. They asked the Lord to fill them, and God filled them, and they spoke the word of God boldly. And when you read the entire chapter, you realize what a threatening time they were living in. Threatening time. Antichrist spirit coming against them, trying to shut down the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when that place was shaken, It was shaken to establish them in God's word and God's truth. God will shake everything in our lives that need to be shaken. So if you've been going through a shaken season, that's probably why. Because God will shake things up, stir things up, so that what remains is established upon His faith and His truth. Hallelujah. So when we receive this anointing, we have the anointing, but it's increasing. Tell your neighbor it's increasing. Tell him I'm going to another level in God. I'm receiving the prevailing anointing. And so my 3 points with this passage is boldness is a divine enablement that comes to ordinary and unprofessional people. Can we give the Lord a praise for that? And boldness is the Holy Spirit moving through someone with a divine surge of power and ability. This is a season of the surge. God's Spirit is surging through us. Have you sensed God's presence? I mean, we know that something is about to happen because the resistance in the spirit realm is so great. God is shaking some things up. He's revealing things as His wind blows across our nation. When God's wind blows, we just see a lot of messes get stirred up. Hallelujah. We're seeing a lot of messes, aren't we? It's like, I don't even want to listen to the news to hear one more thing that's going on sometimes. It's just like, Lord, help us. How can there be so much? And then the Lord reminded me, I'm releasing my wind. When the breath of God begins to blow, you see, God's breath will bring life. But in the midst of all of the bringing life, He's going to expose what is going on in the darkness, because there is no life in that. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. All right, get that picture. And the third thing is, boldness is the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The confidence that we've been talking about, we cannot have without the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the purpose the Holy Spirit was poured out was for us to be witnesses. So get ready for your witnessing to go to another level. Are you ready for your witnessing to go to another level? Even when it is inconvenient, and that's usually what I notice most of the time. It's at an inopportune time, God calls on me to be a witness. Often, I don't know what to say. I usually don't know what to say. But God knows. And just like Peter and John, they will share. They share what God was saying to them. And the religious leaders, were amazed. And people's hearts were changed. Hallelujah. Let's go to prayer. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You, Lord, for Your anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. We ask You, Lord. We ask You, Lord Jesus, to prepare us, God, for this great pouring out of Your Spirit on Pentecost. Thank You, Lord, for positioning us before Your throne. God, thank You, Lord, for giving us a heart's desire to do that. Father, I pray that every person that listens to this finds the time this week to spend it with God, that they take that time to pray and to intercede and to cry out to You, Lord. We thank You, Lord God, for Your presence and for Your strength, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You. I just hear the Spirit of the Lord saying He's stirring deep inside of our heart. He's stirring deep inside of His church at this time. The Lord says, I'm rising up. I'm raising up my warriors. I'm raising up those who will boldly speak for me. The Lord says, I am removing timidity from your heart. I'm removing fear from your mind. For the Lord says, my people will be bold because my Spirit will cause them to be a bold, speaking forth with confidence group of people that works together. And I also heard the Lord say that the people of God work at their greatest capacity when they are working together, when they are praying together, when they are pushing forward together. For the Lord says, my prevailing anointing is coming upon the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And the Lord says, in the days to come, you will see the enemy rise up, and you will think that you are too weak to be able to confront that. But the Lord says, remember, when two or three are gathered in my name, the Lord says, you begin to put thousands of demons to flight. And the Lord says, as you pray, you begin to release thousands of angels on assignment. For the Lord says, I'm waiting on my people to pray. I'm waiting on my people who are called by my name, to humble themselves and to stay in a place where they walk humbly before me. So, Lord, I thank you that we can humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And the Lord says there are many that are going to be humbled by me. The Lord said, better for a man and a woman to humble themselves before me, to surrender their will. But the Lord says, there will be some that I humble. There will be some that in the days to come, as I expose their sin, as I expose what's been done in the secret, says the Lord says, it will be a humbling, and they will not be able to deny it. Thank you, Lord. And God says, the reason I humble is because I want to heal. The reason I humble is because I want to restore. The Lord says, I'm not willing that anyone perishes. Even the worst of the worst, the Lord says. The worst of the worst in our estimation. God says, I know what I've put in that person. And so the Lord says, those people that you feel like are totally against you, the Lord says, you must remember, sons and daughters, that I am working on those people because I'm for them to come to my saving grace. Thank you, Lord. Of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, Lord, be acceptable in your sight. Thank you, Father. I pray for strength for every person sitting in this place today. Pour your strength out upon them, Lord. Pour your strength out upon them, Jesus. The Lord's not going to let us give up, church. You see, the enemy would want you to give up. We've come too far. Tell your neighbor, we've come too far by faith to stop now. We've come too far, church. Don't give up. I just sense there are some people in here today that have felt like giving up.
There are people listening that have felt like giving up. God says, I'm greater than anything you're facing. And I have the answer to every situation. Not only today, but tomorrow. At the first of the year, we did an activation to move us forward into this year. And so I want you just to remember that you left the past behind. Those things that were nagging at you, those things that were playing over and over in your mind, we left those behind. So if you've picked them up again, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, that you help each person release that once again. We thank you, Lord, that our past is under the blood. And Lord, your word says you don't remember it ever again. And you don't hold it against us, God. Thank you that you don't hold my past against me. Father, thank you. Just thank him this morning. Thank you, God, that you're not holding anything against me. But Lord, you've released me from the power of sin. You've released me from the power of shame. You've released me to be a new creature in you, a new man, a new woman, to walk in the fullness of our inheritance. God has a great inheritance for his church, and we have not even begun to scratch the surface of what God has planned for us, church. We can't give up now, but with boldness. With the boldness of the Holy Spirit, with the prevailing anointing that God is releasing, God, we just thank you, Lord, that we go forward in Jesus' name to do your will in the earth. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not sure if he knows this, but Gabe, we have you on for offering today. You have a microphone. Yay. Come on down.
Yeah, it's sterilized. It's ready. Guests are quiet. Praise God. It's offering time. Hallelujah. There we go. See, I'm trying to, you know. Bishop, you all remember that? Bishop, trying to give him props? He likes to do that. He's hallelujah! He loves it. He's big, huge, big, loud. If you need an envelope, just raise your hands. We'll get one to you. We'll either email, air mail, snail mail, paper airplane, t-shirt gun, or the more traditional way we like to do it around here, and usher will just bring one around to you. So if you need one, just raise your hand. They'll get one to you. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of God makes man rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Anybody feeling some sorrow sometimes? It's okay. I think we all do it. We get what we were looking for. We get what we thought was going to make us happy. We get what we sought after for so long, and it's nothing but sorrow and heartache. Well, that's because what we did was we put blessing in a box. We said, God, your blessing has no sorrow, but this money's given me sorrow. He said, when did I say anything about money? He said, I'll be blessing you. He said, I'll give you a blessing. He says, you know, there's more one way to describe a blessing. I was like, what are the synonyms of blessing? So I looked this up and I found this page and it was just limitless. And so I just wanted to read some of these. Boon, benediction, grace, godsend, benison, advantage, gift, favor, benefit, manna from heaven, felicity, good luck, happiness, stroke of luck, consecration, manna, approval, luckiness, goodwill, mercy, good fortune, help, beatitude, benevolence, beautification, veneration, favor, kindness, good wishes, benefaction, windfall, support, consent, gain, miracle, welfare, sanctification, approbation, profit, stamp of approval, fortune, good luck, sanction, permission, prosperity, worship, bounty, confirmation, gratification, assent, green light, clemency, encomium, I don't even know what that one is, dedication, praise, pleasure, assent, affirmation, invocation, good thing, ratification, act of kindness, bliss, commendation, okay, agreement, acceptance, thanks, admiration, reverence, endorsement, authorization, backing, good turn, break, gratitude, delight, hallowing, joy, compliment, go ahead, good deed, gratuity, charity, perks, laurels, tribute, bonus, blessedness, glory, courtesy, bonanza, accolade, anointing, and it continues to go on, chance, dispensation, superiority, added attraction, additional benefit, added extra relief, imperator, aid, assistance, clearance, concurrence, esteem, convenience, dedicating, virtue, countenance, glorification, adoration, comfort, wellness, supplication, mitzvah, consolation, wholeness, respect, cachet, wholesomeness, endorsement, finalization, formalization, nod, rubber stamp, thumbs up, vote, acceptation, accession, liking, clean bill of health, pat on the back, purification, prayer for someone, consecration, intercession, supplying, sacralizing, sanctifying, baptizing, canonizing, spiritualizing, chastising, cleansing, lustring, purifying, plus point, exercising, exorcising, expurging, extra, committing, peace of luck, devoting, reconsecrating, thanksgiving, encouragement, satisfaction, laying on of hands, Godspeed, regard, caroling, celebrating, emblazing, exalting, extolling, and it goes on. I didn't even find the end of this page, but what I'm trying to get here is blessing is not one little thing. Blessing, our God is not in a little tiny box for a cat on the table to knock it off. Anybody got cats knows that reference. They will knock anything off the table if you make it too small. God's blessing is so large, it is so uncontained, it is so all-encompassing that we don't need to limit it. We don't need to put it in a box. It's not just a small world. The blessing of God is an entire way of life. The blessing of a God is realigning yourself to think outside of what you see in front of you, outside of the circumstance, outside of the suffering, outside of the sorrow that came upon you because you thought the blessing was supposed to be this, but God said, no, it's this. God said, I put you here for this. God, I said, I put you here for this. I have a plan for you. You put me over here, but I'm bigger than that. Amen. Do we serve a God this big or do we serve a God this little? Come on, we serve a God this big. Let me hear you say it. We serve a God that is big. A glorified God. He's not limited to our limited vocabulary, okay? Open your mind and understand that when we talk about blessings and we talk about favor, that it's not just about the finances of it. That's a huge part of it, but it is about so much more than that. It is about an entire transformation in the way you think and the way you understand how God blesses those who love Him and trust in Him. Amen? Give God a round of applause. He deserves it. We're going to read our proclamation. This is our new set of proclamations. So if we could stand today, we're going to read this together. Everyone here, we're learning. We don't want to put God in a box. That's why we're stretching this out. We're changing these proclamations. We don't want to get in habit. We don't want to be religious about this. We want to understand what it means. So let's read this together. Proclamation according to Malachi 3:10 through 11. As we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse of the Lord, there will be resources and provision to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to reach souls and more souls from every generation, to be saved and set free by the power of God. The Lord of hosts will open the windows of heaven over my life and will pour out a blessing bigger than I can contain. God will rebuke the devourer for me. God will protect the fruit of my labor. Praise God, it's offering time. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, we're going to stay in our seats. The usher is going to bring those around to you. But what we're going to do is pray. Let's hold our, before we sit, let's hold our offerings up and let's just pray a blessing with this. Father God, we just thank you that you are not a limited God. We thank you that you are Alpha Omega, Lord, that you are a God of all, that you are a creator of heavens and earth, Lord, and you have knit every single one of us together and you know us intimately, Lord, and you just want to bless every single one of us, Lord. So we just thank you as we make this announcement of faith, as we make this proclamation of gratitude towards the things that you bless us with, that, Lord, are we not limit the blessing that you place over us. Lord, that we not put you in a box. Lord, that we not close our mind to the possibilities that you have in store for us, Lord, but we open them for you. We humbly seek your favor. We humbly seek your blessing. We humbly seek your protection, Lord, as we bring this offering into you. Lord, we just thank you for that protection. We thank you for that anointing. We thank you that our offering is sanctified by the name, by the sacrifice of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask if praise team will make their way forward and get ready for our closing song. And you can be seated. I have just a few announcements. Just a reminder, we will not have children ministry or student ministries until further notice. So the children are welcome to join us in the main auditorium. Also, the weight loss challenge starts today. And so if you would like to weigh in, you can see Brianna. She will be in the lobby. And our last Wednesday night life group class is this Wednesday night. We're on the 11th chapter of Days of the Saints. And we've enjoyed meeting together. It ended up meeting via conference call, but that's the way we're going to wrap it up. We have a conference call on Wednesday night, and we'll finish up that book. Also, we'll continue to record our Sunday morning services, and they will be on YouTube. If you'd like to share those with someone, or you want to see it again, and for our members that are not here today, that is going to be something that we consistently do, since not everybody is ready to come out yet. So, also, our prophetic teams will be ready to serve you at the end of the service. We will be in the Elijah room. And if you have questions about that, you can see Elder Sylvia. She is overseeing the prophetic teams. And also the prayer teams, you can see signs that say prayer team, because we're bringing the prayer team this direction as the people are leaving this direction, just to practice our six-foot rule. And I got was teasing Chris this morning and Deacon Jerome. I said they were standing talking and they had their mask on and they were about this far apart. And I said, this is why we're wearing masks in the lobby, because we know how all of you are, and it's difficult to stay 6 feet apart when you're the people of God. Amen. Because you just want to hug someone, but big hugs to everybody. You have to do air hugs now. But anyway, we will continue with the guidelines until we are told that we can let them up. And so we want to practice our degree of care. So at this time, we have River of Life Praise Team.
All right, let's go ahead and stand again as we sing our closing song. Amen. We believe. We believe.
Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion.
Protect us, Lord. You will guide us. You will watch over us and be with us every step of the way. We love you, Lord. Watch over us this week. Protect us as we may do a little bit of traveling to go see friends or family, or even if we're just staying at home, Lord. Watch over us. Keep us safe. And again, let us remember those who are no longer with us that have helped to keep us free and safe, Lord. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Well, God bless you as you go today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And those of you that would like prayer, the prayer teams will come on this side. And if you want a prophetic word, please see Elder Sylvia. And we love you all. Have a wonderful memorial.